This morning, our scripture lesson is Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verses 9 through 14. Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verses 9 through 14. What gain have the workers from their toil? I've seen the business that God has given to everyone to be busy with. He has made everything suitable for its time. Moreover, he has put a sense of past and future into their minds, yet they cannot find out what God has done from the beginning to the end. I know that there is nothing better for them than to be happy and enjoy themselves as long as they live. Moreover, it is God's gift that all should eat and drink and take pleasure in all their toil. I know that whatever God does endures forever. Nothing can be added to it, nor anything taken from it. God has done this so that all should stand in awe before him. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. It was one of those mornings. I awoke to begin a new day. I was stumbling out of bed toward the shower, kind of grumbling. And I don't know if y'all have one of these or not, but I have a little voice that likes to talk to me all the time. And this morning that little voice had something to say. Little voice said, John, you can dread the day or you can anticipate it. Either way, it's in front of you. Tomorrow will be January 1, 2018. I was talking to somebody the other day. I remember how everybody was panicking, you know, on Y2K, how everything was going to shut down. And here we are, 18 years later. But tomorrow we're going to be entering 2018. It's the day to make resolutions we know we're going to break. As you know, Sally and I served in Rocky Face for 5 years, which is just an extension of Dalton. And while we were there, I was acquainted with a couple who owned and operated a deli and bakery. You could not get in that place at lunchtime. I mean, it was one of those places where you walk in and you gain weight because, you know, she had the soup, she had the sandwiches, she had the bread, she had the desserts. I mean, you know. But she did something that she and her husband that struck me as odd. They closed down the entire month of January. Now, I have seen how packed that place was. I mean, I said, there's no telling how much money they're losing. But I never did say anything, of course, wasn't my business. But somehow it came up in conversation one day, and the wife told me, she says, well, the first couple of years we were in business as we did. We opened in January, says, but no business whatsoever. No business whatsoever. So what happens is everybody in Whitfield County goes on a diet in January. She said then in February they can't stand it anymore and they all come back for the next 11 months. New Year's Day. A day of vision. A day of possibilities. We close the books on 1 year, but we open the books for the next year. The pages of 2018 have not been written yet. And no one knows what the approaching year holds. Of course, you know, I would love for 2018 to be all positive, but that's not life. I hope at worst that 2018 is just dotted with aggravations here and there. Consider my own life and attempting to offer some thoughts on entering a new year. I'm inclined to approach the subject more from the perspective of our attitude as opposed to looking at specifics, looking at goals. You know, unless the Lord returns or we go to be with the Lord this year, We're looking at 365 days ahead of us in 2018. 365 days. Now, on each one of those days, we have options. We can suffer through them. 365 days of suffering. I don't know about you. That doesn't sound too appealing. So let's make it a little bit better. We could survive the next 365 days. Survival is not really that good of a word. It's a little bit better than suffering, but it's not really that great of a thought. Or we could live the next 365 days. We could live the next 365 days gleaning the most out of each one. We're going to encounter daily tasks. Each is going to offer opportunities. And yes, they're each going to offer challenges. Each day we can awake and we can anticipate the headaches. Or we can anticipate the opportunities. And I can't speak for anyone else, but I have found in my life, on my average day, what I am anticipating tends to be what I encounter. The author of Ecclesiastes asserts, "I know there is nothing better for them than to be happy and enjoy themselves as long as they live. Moreover, it is God's gift that all should eat and drink and listen to the last part of the line and take pleasure in all their toil." Not just on your days off. Take pleasure in everything we're called upon to do. You know, serving as a pastor has taught me some lessons that I might not have learned as quickly in another line of work. As a pastor, I'm granted the privilege of participating in the most joyful times in people's lives. And I also walk through the darkest valleys with people attempting to offer some kind of comfort and strength. And these experiences have taught me something. Again, remember what I told you I am? The CRO, the Chief Reminding Officer. What I'm about to say, you already know, but I'm going to remind you again. Plan for tomorrow. Live and enjoy today. It is only prudent to plan for tomorrow. But today is all we are given. The thoughts I'm about to express can be applied to any vocation, but since I'm a preacher, I know preachers best, since that's what I do. You know, to be honest, and y'all who have known me over the last 12 years, you know one of my strengths or one of my weaknesses, I don't know which one you call it, is I'm too honest for my own good. But to be honest, pastors and their families enjoy the atmosphere and conditions of some appointments more than we do others. Just being honest. We love everybody, but we enjoy some places more than others. You know I've enjoyed here. I wouldn't have been here 12 years. And just like churches, churches, even if you love every single pastor that has ever crossed your path, you have to be honest, there's been some you've enjoyed more than you have others. That's normal. But sadly, I have known pastors who dream and look for that day when they are assigned the perfect appointment. They have in their mind what the perfect assignment would be. And when they are assigned that perfect assignment, then they're going to be happy. And when they're happy and they receive that perfect assignment, then it will be worthy of their talent, it will be worthy of their calling, and then they will use all of their God-given gifts to their fullest when they finally get the church that is worthy of that talent. Well, reality is there's no perfect preacher, so if we were sent to the perfect church, it would no longer be perfect. And there's no such thing as a perfect church either. Hence, many pastors in their professional ministry, bitter at worst, burned out at best, because they never learned to enjoy the present and the perfect assignment never came. And as can be done with any job or profession, too many pastors have delayed their enjoyment of life until they retire. They grumble and they groan until they finally retire. Well, I remember as a young pastor, this is what really came home to me. As a young pastor, you watch the older pastors. And that's a scary thing now that I'm one of the older pastors. But anyway, as a young pastor, you watch the older pastors, and I remember watching some older pastors grumble and gripe and moan and groan and couldn't wait till they retired, and then they gave their retirement speech, which I'm not going to do, but they gave their retirement speech at conference 1 year, and the next year their name was listed in the memorials. They didn't live life because they were waiting until they retired, and then they died. And then I've seen others, they weren't happy in the ministry and they weren't happy in retirement. The author of Ecclesiastes says, I know that there is nothing better for them than to be happy and enjoy themselves as long as they live. Moreover, it is God's gift that all should eat and drink and take pleasure in all their toil. On the other hand, I remember Sally's dad. Sally's dad worked at Larkin Coil from the time he came home from World War II until the time he retired in 1988. And he was plant manager for several years. Larkin Coil was made the big old air-conditioned units that you see on top of commercial buildings and the walk-in freezers like in grocery stores and the like. And I never will forget one time Sally and I we had to take care of some kind of business near the Capitol in Atlanta, and Ralph was always a little protective. Even when I was 40 years old, he couldn't believe I was going to take a trip to Augusta by myself. But anyway, he was always very protective of us. And so we were really young at this time. And so we had business to take care of in Atlanta. And Larkin Coil was located in Atlanta. So we met him, and he was going to take us to where we needed to go. The man came walking out smiling ear to ear. I said, what gives? It's in the middle of his workday. What's he smiling about? Well, he was just smiling ear to ear. Because you see, you know, his job involved some long hours. He was plant manager for several years. His job involved a lot of stress. Now, I know he got aggravated at times, but I dare say that 99% of the time he intentionally enjoyed what he did. He thanked God for the opportunities. He thanked God for the challenges. He thanked God for the abilities and opportunities of each new day. And he taught me something through example that I am still trying to fully learn. Enjoy even the pain in the neck days. I'm better at it. Not quite there, but I'm better at it. I'm still trying to learn it. About the time Katie was born, Ralph retired because the company was relocating and he was at a place where he didn't want to relocate, and so he was able to retire. But I didn't think he would survive retirement. I didn't think he would. But he enjoyed every minute of retirement until his health failed him. And even then, when I'd take him for his chemo treatments, he walked in the doctor's office smiling, bringing joy to the office staff. What was his secret? A long time ago, he learned two things that he lived all of his life. He trusted the Lord in all things, and whatever life called upon him to do, he either found a way to enjoy it, and if he couldn't enjoy it, he found a way to find fulfillment in it. The discovery becomes most pronounced when we realize that God has created us for a much greater purpose than mere survival. Regardless of our job, regardless of our profession, regardless if we're retired, God has called us to be in relationship of love with God and with each other. God calls us, Jesus calls us to love each other in the same way that we are loved by God. Thus, our life's calling is to be used by Jesus on a daily basis to enhance the lives of others, which ironically, the more we are able to do that, the more our lives are blessed and we find our joy. When we realize we've been created for the greater purpose of loving and serving God through loving and serving others, we are better equipped to joyfully conquer the unavoidable stresses that just come with life. And we're also more equipped to examine what we need to let go of, perhaps. In the late 1800s, a soldier stood at attention at an isolated corner of the Russian palace. When questioned about his purpose, the soldier said, "I'm just following the captain's orders." So the captain was asked about it, and the captain said, "I don't know why he's there, but regulations say he's supposed to be." So they did some research. And upon research, they had found that a century earlier, Catherine the Great, Empress from 1762 to 1796, had planted a rose bush. And she wanted to make sure this rose bush was protected, so she ordered that a guard be posted at the rose bush. Well, the rose bush was no longer there. It was now a barren spot of land. But regulation said you're supposed to have a guard at that post. And so for 100 years, a guard had been posted at the barren spot of ground where a rose bush used to be. Now granted, all of our jobs, all of us in this room I think have insurance, etc., requires us to waste time on useless paperwork in order to meet some further useless regulation. That just is life. If we hope to keep our jobs, if we hope to keep our insurance, we'll fill out the paperwork. But there are many issues that we do have a choice about. And some of our choices are about as useful as guarding a rose bush that hasn't been there in 100 years. If we make our choices in light of the greater purpose of Jesus for our lives, we'll more easily know what to stop, what to keep doing, and perhaps what to start. 2018 is as good as here. And the alarm's going to go off in the morning. Man, it's going to propel us into another day. And the same will occur the next day. And the next day. And the next day. Until the next thing we know, we're going to be saying, where did the year go? And we're looking at 2019. Well, what will we be in 2018? A major part of that answer is going to be how we approach each single day. I know that there is nothing better for them than to be happy and enjoy themselves as long as they live. Moreover, it is God's gift that all should eat and drink and take pleasure in all their toil. Let us pray. Our gracious and loving Lord, thank you for life. Thank you that you take us human beings with all of our faults, with all of our confusions. And if we'll but offer ourselves to you, you use us for eternal purposes. Lord, as we enter into a new year, help us to each day enter that day with you foremost on our minds, seeking to be used by you for some eternal purpose, even if that purpose is something we'll not see until we get to the other side of life. But Lord, may we always be available. And gracious Lord, we know that being life, some days are just going to operate according to Murphy's Law. They're going to be aggravating. But Lord, help us to do as said the writer of Ecclesiastes, and help us to take pleasure in all of our toil. That even in the pain in the neck days, we may see you. And we may glean all that there is to glean from this gift of life. In Jesus' most holy name we pray. Amen.